Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, Albert Einstein had a picture of a man named Michael Faraday on his wall. Now, I saw one or two heads nod. Most of us probably don't know who Michael Faraday is. He was a physicist, lived in the 1800s. He is considered the father of the laws of electromagneticism. That means nothing to you, doesn't it? Here's what he means to you. If you have ever used anything that worked on an electric motor, then you have Michael Faraday to thank for that. He's the father of the laws that cause our motors for us to understand how to build them and how to make them work. He was an incredible scientist, but he was also a very deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ. And in London, every Christmas, he would host a lecture that was attended by thousands and thousands of people every year. And his lecture was on the chemical history of a candle. How many of you want to go sign up for that lecture? But thousands of people went to hear Michael Faraday give a lecture on the chemical history of a candle. And in his lectures, he made the argument that all of physics could be explained and summed up in the light of a candle. That if you could understand the light of a candle, you could understand the universe. Well, you see candles all around you this morning. And if the whole universe can be summed up in the light of a candle, perhaps the whole universe can be summed up in none other than Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." John, who wrote the Gospel of John that we're studying as we look at these seven I am statements from Jesus, John was fascinated with Jesus as the light. In 16 different times in the gospel, John refers to Jesus as light. And the passage that we're going to look at, the statement we're going to look at today, is in John chapter 8. It's in verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so I want us to look this morning at just what that means for Jesus to be the light. Shane shared some thoughts with us that I appreciate very much. But what does it mean for Jesus to be the light? What does light do for us? What does light offer us? And so I'm not very good at science, but for just a moment, I want to try to think about science a little bit. We've done that already, thinking about Michael Faraday. I don't know who David Faraday is. But I want to think for just a minute about science, because what does light do for us? An object that you see will never actually physically touch your brain. Now, that sounds like a strange thing to say, but think about that for a minute. An object that you see, like this Bible that I'm holding up, you can see this and never actually physically touch it. Not with your hand, and it will never actually physically get in your head and touch your brain, but yet you see it and you know that it is real and it is true and it exists. And the reason that you can do that is because of light. Because what's happening right now, even in a darkened room, is that there is light that is bouncing off of this object and going back to your eyes, and your eyes are translating in some way, I think electromagnetically, that to your brain, and your brain is processing and sees and knows the reality of this Bible that I'm holding up. And all of that happened in a nanosecond. That's incredible. And that's the power of light. That's because of light. This is real to you. And you can see its color, and you can see its shape, and you can see height and width and depth because of light. And if there was no light in this room at all, if it was totally dark, the Bible would still be real, but you would not be able to see it. Because there would not be light that was traveling and doing all the things that it does between the object in your eyes and your brain. Light enables you to see, and in the absence of light, which is darkness, you can't see. Which means, and this is what I really want us to think about today. There's a lot of ways we could talk about light, but what I want you to think about today, as we think about light and as we think about Jesus being the light of the world, is that light does not tell us about light. Light tells us about the things around us. Light doesn't tell us about light. Light exposes the reality that is around us. Without light, we do not know or understand or see reality. We don't know how to process it, how to understand it, how to interact with it. Light is what gives us that perspective. And without light, we would not be able to interpret the world around us. We would be in darkness, stumbling and bumbling and bumping into things and having some sense, maybe, but not really understanding in the absence of light. Light helps us to see the reality in which we already live. Michael Faraday said that the candle, just that single flame, exposed the entire universe, and so does the flame that is Jesus. So is Jesus as the light. So when Jesus says that he is the light, it doesn't necessarily mean that we see him better. We do. But Jesus as the light doesn't necessarily mean that we see him better. What it means is that we see the world around us better. And that's what I really want us to think about this morning. I mean, we think about a light and we think about being drawn to a light, and that's true, and Jesus is that light. But I don't want you to think about that specifically this morning. Think about that light not really helping us see the light better, but that light helping us see everything that's around us better. As the light of the world, Jesus gives us the proper interpretation of reality. Without it, we don't interpret reality correctly. Without Jesus, we cannot make sense of the things around us. I meant to bring my iPhone up here as an object lesson. We all have smartphones. We all interact with them on an everyday, sometimes every moment basis. But without the light of Jesus shining, interpreting, helping us make sense, we don't know how to correctly use our iPhones. Without the light of Jesus, we will end up using it for all kinds of dark purposes. Without Jesus helping us make sense of it, using it according to the light, we pretty quickly move into darkness. Now, the iPhone's an example. There's all kinds of things that you interact with on an everyday basis that without the light of Jesus in your life, helping you interpret and understand and process that thing and your interaction with it correctly, without that light, we use it in darkness and we use it for dark purposes. In every area of your life, you need Jesus as your light to help you make sense of the world, to help you know how to make your way in the world. The children of Israel, when God freed them from bondage in Egypt, literally were trying to know how to make their way in the world. How did they know how to make their way in the world? Because God led them. How did God lead them? With light. He led them in the day with a cloud, and he led them at night with a pillar of fire, with light. Fire and light have always been associated with God, especially associated with the glory of God. Over in 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon built the grand, incredible temple and dedicated it to God, 1 Kings 8 gives us this dramatic moment where the glory of God in cloud and in light descended from heaven onto and into the temple. And God dwelt there for hundreds of years. But hundreds of years later, in Ezekiel chapter 9, just before the Babylonians are going to come into Jerusalem and completely destroy this temple, Ezekiel dramatically sees that God's glory in the form of cloud and light ascend and depart from that place. And after that, the prophets of God looked forward to and foretold a day when God's glory, his light, would return to the earth. And when it did, it would be in the Messiah, in the promised one, in the King who was going to come and show the way. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah is looking forward to a day when that will be true. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, it is confirmed that Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. That what the prophet said was true, that the glory of God in cloud and in light is going to return to this earth. God is going to come again to expose and to light and to show the way, and he's going to do it in the Messiah, and Jesus is that Messiah, and Jesus is that light, and Jesus can say, "I am the light of the world." It's interesting to me the time and the place and the setting that Jesus chose to make this "I am" statement. Every year in the fall, in our months it would be September and October, Every year, millions of Jews came back to Jerusalem to celebrate the third great festival of the year. It was called the Feast or the Festival of Tabernacles. And the purpose of this feast and this festival was to celebrate the harvest, because that was part of the rhythm of their life. But even more than that, the purpose of the Festival of Tabernacles was to look back and to remember and to give thanks and to celebrate the provision of God for the children of Israel during that 40 years that they wandered through the wilderness and they lived in tents. And so whenever the Jews would celebrate this feast for 8 days, they would build tents or booths or tabernacles all over Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and they would live in those for a week. And remember, I actually know some people who are what we call Messianic Jews. They still practice some of the Jewish things, but they believe Jesus is a Messiah. A friend of mine has some land on the Red River, and every year in the fall, this group come and they build tents and booths, and they still honor this celebration. But in Jerusalem, as a part of that celebration, there were a lot of special things that happened. One of those is that each night of the feast, when the sun set and it grew dark, the priest would light 4 candelabras. These menorahs that are meant to look like the tree of life. And they have all these points of light, candles. The thing about these candelabras, though, they were each 75 feet high. They were enormous. And the priest would light those 4 up on the temple every night of this feast. And it said that the light was so bright that the light shone in every corner of Jerusalem. So this was a significant part of the Feast of Tabernacles. Every night, all night long, the fire, the light burned in the temple. And it was at the end of this feast, maybe on the night after those lights were extinguished for the last time, that Jesus looked at the crowd and he said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." A light that helps make sense of the world. A light that helps properly interpret reality. A light that helps us find our way in the world and in our culture. And I want to give just 3 examples this morning of some topics, some issues, some places in our life where Jesus as the light helps us properly interpret and know how to make our way. Why is it that just a few decades ago, if someone had said that a man could be a woman, or a woman could be a man, that would have been totally incoherent to us? That made no sense at all. That would have made no sense at all. Why is it that just 2 decades ago that was true, but today entire portions of the American public not only believe that to be true, but they want to mandate that as truth? There's a book by Carl Truman called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. And in it, he makes the argument on this issue and many others that the reason something has changed and reality is seen differently, in a different light, is because of the growing absence of the light of Jesus in our culture. See, in the darkness, in the absence of the light of Jesus helping us make sense of things, I become my light. Me, myself, become the center of my universe and I light my own way. And when it becomes about me in the absence of the light of Jesus, where that almost always leads is decisions get made based on what brings me pleasure. I exist to please myself. But to say that pleasure is the highest plane of existence for myself is to miss the purpose, to miss the Creator's purpose for me. See, I need the light of Jesus. Every one of you need the light of Jesus to help you understand and process and interpret reality. Because Jesus helps us see that there is something greater in my life than pleasure. There's something bigger in my life than me. But I need the light of Jesus to see it. One place we see it is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus. In accordance, not with my pleasure, in accordance with God's pleasure. With his pleasure and his will, also to the praise of his glorious grace. There's that word glory. In the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given us in the one he loves. See, in darkness, I become the center of my world. In darkness, I'm the only reality I know. I mean, literally, think about being in a cave where you could see nothing. You can't see anything. There's nothing. And so you are the only reality that you know. You need light to help you see that there is a whole other reality around you that helps you make sense of things. You need the light of Jesus. Because in darkness, I become the center of my world. And it was never intended for me to be the center of my world. It was never intended for you to be the center of your world. We don't handle it well. But we need the light of Jesus to help us see that and make sense of that. To make sense of it based on the one who created the world and who created me. That I exist for his pleasure and will. I exist to bring praise to his glorious grace. And Jesus came to shine in the dark cave of self and to lift us up out of that darkness and into his great light, where we find life, where we find reality, where we find meaning, where we find purpose. Rather than bumping around and stumbling around in the dark cave that ends up just in destruction and withering away and death, it's only in the light of Jesus that I can make sense of myself. And that has so many implications. That's one example, just self. Let's think about another example. Let's think about our stuff. How does the light of Jesus help you interpret correctly all the stuff that is in your life? Because again, in the darkness, all the stuff is just about me. What can I get? What do I need? In the darkness, self is all about pleasure, and so stuff just becomes about ways to give me pleasure. In the darkness, I become more and more greedy about stuff. Whether that's money or possessions or just you go down the list. But see, in the light of Jesus, I see stuff differently. In the light of Jesus, I see stuff the way that the creator of stuff meant for me to see it. In the light of Jesus, I learn how to use it. I learn how to interpret reality. Because stuff isn't necessarily in of itself bad and evil. Stuff has been given by God. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, yes, you will be enriched in every way. And almost every one of us sitting in this room have been enriched in multiple ways by God, who is the giver of all good gifts. You will be enriched in every way. So that, why do I have stuff? How do I interpret my stuff? How do I use my stuff so that you can be generous? See, in the light of Jesus, we see the reality of what God meant for me and stuff. God enriches me. God enriches you in every way so that we can be generous. And so it just keeps going. When we are generous, then it allows the person to whom we have showed generosity to give praise to God, who's the source of the gift in the first place. Jesus constantly, his light constantly helps us take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on God, who's the author of reality. That's self, stuff. Let's look at one more. How about suffering? How does the light of Jesus help us interpret and deal with suffering? Because in the darkness, I can't make sense of suffering at all. In the darkness, suffering makes no sense at all to me. I don't know how to process it. I don't know what to do with it. What I end up doing is I resent it. I do everything I can to avoid it. When I experience, I curse it, and I curse the God who let me suffer. That's what suffering is like in the darkness. But Jesus, as the light of the world, helps you and me interpret suffering correctly. Helps us put suffering in the right context to understand the reality. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Folks, there is no way in the world that you and I come to that place except when we walk in the light of Jesus. You just heard our brother say amen to that. And that amen is said in the middle of suffering. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. It's only the light of Jesus that leads you and I there. It's only the light of Jesus that turns suffering into something that accomplishes rather than destroys. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says a very similar thing. "But we also glory," and there's that word again, "we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance." Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Only the light of Jesus shines and shows hope in the middle of suffering. It's only in the light of Jesus that trials and tribulations and pain and suffering that every one of us go through begin to make sense. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And as the light, Jesus exposes reality. We see what's around us clearly. And only in his light do we process it and understand it correctly. But sometimes it's hard to see. Catherine Maurice, and that's her pen name, she wanted to protect her family when she wrote her book called Let Me Hear Your Voice. Catherine had a little girl. Her and her husband had a little girl. And for the first year of her little girl's life, everything was just perfect. Everything was great. And her daughter was developing, and her little personality was very extroverted, and she was full of babbling and life. But something began to change in the second year of her life. And day by day, it looked and seemed like the light went out of her daughter. And she became quieter and quieter and more withdrawn. And after multiple visits to doctors and tests, it was determined that her little girl had a very severe form of autism. In her book, Catherine describes the spiritual journey of what life was like for them. Because in the story, they have a second child who also has a severe form of autism. Just daily life was incredibly hard for this mom. And day after day and month after month and year after year went by, and she reached what she just calls her breaking point. She reached a day where she knew that she did not know if she was going to make it. That she literally thought she was going to break. If something didn't change. But she says that night something did change. And it happened as she stared into the light of a candle. These are her words. "It was around 1 a.m. and I could not sleep. I could no longer cry. I had no tears left. I was exhausted. I was spent. And I was wound to the breaking point. There was a candle on my desk. And I lit the candle and I just stared into the flame. Mark and the children were asleep, and I sat in that tiny circle of light, and I tried to feel the presence of God. Lord, I need help so badly, I prayed." All along, she says, "I'd been asking God to change my reality. To change my world, to heal my daughters, to make these diagnoses wrong. But not this night." She said, "I quit praying that prayer. This night was different. Instead, I prayed this prayer. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need strength. Lord, I need peace. Lord, I need the ability to go on. And if you won't change what's around me, would you please change me?" And then she said, "I knew I had to add the phrase that my heart did not want to say, but I whispered the words, 'Nevertheless, your will be done.'" And she stared into that candle, and she says that in a moment, something changed. And it wasn't the world around her, but it was in her. And she began, as the days went on, to see differently. To see her reality differently. Michael Faraday said, "The world, the universe, could be explained and understood in the flame of a candle." Catherine Maurice found sense of her world staring into the flame of a candle. God literally led his people in a wilderness for 40 years every night with an enormous candle, a pillar of light. And the temple in all of Jerusalem was lit for 7 nights with the flames of candles. Maybe Michael Faraday was onto something. I know that Jesus was when he said, "I am the light of the world." The lights are down this morning. There's candles all over the room. And I want to just ask you this morning to take a few minutes and gaze into the light. And look into the light of the one who spoke and said, "Let there be light." And it was. Let his light make sense of whatever it is that you are going through today. Wherever you are, wherever you are going, whatever you are dealing with, darkness is the worst place to be because it's just almost impossible to make sense of it in the absence of light. So this morning, gaze into the light. I would even say if you need to, get up and go to one of these tables and stand in a circle of light. And after a few minutes of your time to reflect, I will close our time with prayer. So at this moment, let Jesus be the light of your world. Thank you for creating light. Can't help but notice that it's on the very first day of creation. Out of nothing, you created light, which means you are the source of light. Thank you that you led your people with light. Literally, you led them. You showed them the way every day with light. Thank you for the lights that are in our life. We as a culture and as a people live in a time where we really are rarely ever in complete darkness. We just benefit from lots of light. But help us not to ever take for granted the reality, the truth, that in your absence there is nothing but darkness. So thank you for being our light. Thank you for coming into our world, God, again as light. Thank you for shining, for showing, for lighting the way. Thank you for helping us to make sense of the world around us, to understand the reality that we live in, to put it in perspective. Be that light in our lives, Lord Jesus. And whether it's with ourselves or our stuff or our suffering or any number of issues and experiences that we go through every day, Father, there are people in this room this morning who need your light in their life. There's people in this room who are walking in a sort of darkness. They're not seeing clearly. They're trying to process. They're trying to understand. They're trying to make sense. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help them see more clearly. And they would know the way. Thank you for being our light. We ask you to shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. If you would, the lights are going to come up and we're going to stand and we're going to sing and just praise Jesus because he is the light. Lord.